Could you just trust... Hey there, I'm Dr. Aloysius Freeman.
And I'm Alayla Marks Parks.
And thanks for joining us again on Pale Columbia. Now, I know you're aching to dive back into the story, and we'll get to that momentarily. But first, we have a guest. We closed our last episode with the news that our humble podcast had gotten a sponsor. Joining us now is Associate Communications Director for Kane Capital, Veronica Delmonico. Good to have you with us, Veronica.
Great to be here, Dr. Freeman.
Now, Veronica, we're both tenured professors of history, while you have a bachelor's in, communications, yes?
Mm-hmm.
Could you tell our listeners how you'll contribute to our...
Great question, Alayla. Let me start off by stressing Kane Capital's commitment to uplifting non-traditional voices. Kane is listening to all viewpoints, especially the historically marginalized ones.
Yes, and you're here because Kane Capital's corporate lineage stretches back to Carmela Kane, who turned her considerable slave holdings
so
into...
So glad you asked, Dr. Freeman. It's no secret that, as with most major Western financial institutions, Kane Capital is regrettably tied to persons who profited from America's original sin of slavery. As to Carmela Kane, she was a product of her time. Things were different in those days. Right now, though, Kane Capital is leading the way in engaging with historically wronged communities.
So Kane is working on reparations?
Reparation-adjacent corporate initiatives. For instance, our Explain Your Pain to Kane project turns minority essays into rap videos.
That's a no, folks. Now, since you're here to make sure we don't badmouth Carmela too much, why don't
and
you...
And that is the perfect segue back into our tale. We'll hear more from Veronica later. But for now, let's get back to Fiona and Ben Franklin, no? When we last saw them, they narrowly escaped a horde of blighted assailants, but lost Jupiter in the process. Blighted pursuers on their tail, Fiona and Franklin made their way back to the big house. And that's where we dive into this installment of Pale Columbia.
Almost there, sir. Just a bit farther.
I was already going to put you in charge of the Philadelphia print shop, Fiona, but after this... Oh, I may have to bequeath everything to you after I'm gone.
I'm holding you to that, sir. But they're gaining on us. Let's speed our pace. You can't amend your will if you're dead.
What the dickens happened to the front door? It's half off its hinges.
But we can figure that out once we're inside. Even half a door is preferable to no barrier twixt us and them.
The dining room doors are closed. That may be a good sign. Perhaps Jefferson and the others sealed themselves in.
But look there.
Good Lord, that's so much blood. And... why, that's Junebug. I knew him, Fiona. We tumbled dice many a time.
He's been stabbed and shot. No telling if he spread the blight before they put him down.
Well, since I faintly hear conversation within and not rabid howling, I'd say we should check and see. It's locked. That may mean someone has their wits inside. Hello? Thomas? Are you alive in there? Open up.
Benjamin? Oh, thank heavens, man! One moment. Red, help me with this barricade so Benjamin
can... Belay that?
Belay what?
How do we know your rogue slaves aren't using them to force their way in?
Carmela Kane, if I get bitten because of you, I swear on all that's holy, I'll...
Oh, for heaven's sake, someone help me clear the door.
Look like nine kinds of hell they do. But they ain't rabid or revolting, at least.
Get in here, man. Are you whole? And you, Miss Fiona, what's going on out there?
It's utter pandemonium, Thomas. We barely made it here alive. There are hordes.
It is hell out there. We were set upon.
Yes, we're aware of the slave revolt, girl.
It is not.
A slave revolt, Carmella! It's...
A plague of rabidity, but worse! The infected, they're like madmen, but...
They're single-minded, voracious, tireless!
Yes, I believe you've had a run-in with one already. Arch over there even more so. You say they're tireless, yes?
Yes, they have one goal, to spread their blight. At least that's what I could glean from Ju... Oh, Ben! Jupiter!
Ah, I knew I was forgetting something. What's that boy gotten up to? Don't tell me he's taken advantage of this commotion to chance another escape. Oh, he better.
For God's sakes, Thomas, be silent. Fiona and I are only here thanks to that lad. And if you'd heeded him before...
Heeded him before, Ben? I'll admit, this has been a fatal bit of fall to all, but don't tell me you now believe Jupiter's fantastical.
Thomas, Jupiter kept trying to tell you he and Samson had been accosted by rabid madmen, that Samson had been bitten.
And now lunatics have overrun your estate, biting and brutalizing everyone they...
Enough! It was an amusing jape from Jupiter, and Miss Pratt is both young and a woman, so her naivete can be excused. But you, Benjamin...
Thomas, listen!
No! You listen, Benjamin. I've had one bondsman gunned down over little more than being an angry drunk who got cheated at dice. The likely cheat lies yonder, soiling that chaise lounge with his life's blood.
Sir, you haven't seen them, though. They...
Haven't I? Well, let's have a peek, then. No.
Thomas, close the curtains, the light!
I'm inclined to agree with your friend, Jefferson, until we know what's out there.
Horror of horrors. It's neither revolt nor blighted horde. Just Big Harold Too Sweet and a dozen or so other meanderers. You there, 'neath the torchlight. Why so aimless, Big Harold? Don't you know there's a... My God! His jaw's torn clean away!
Idiot! You'll draw them right to us!
His jaw... And Too Sweet's eye.
Dangling half down her face, it was. Look, whether they revoltin' or rabid or both, I want no part of that. Method, let's get.
Already ahead of you, dearest. Come on, Arch. My word, you're burning up. Let's sit up now. We'll circumvent them in the darkness, grab the wagon, and be rid of whatever all this is. I beg your pardon, but am I to understand you mean to abandon us? Well, yes, I thought that rather obvious. What faithless rabble! And you, Jefferson! You were going to send me home with... Jefferson! Jefferson!
Torn clean off. And so much blood. But still upright. How?
And that right there, folks, is why our paths got to part. Master awestruck and horrified over there is dead weight, let alone the gout-hobbled gray hair on the fainting couch.
Needs must when the devil drives, my girl. If those maniacs are closing in, I might even outrun you, gout or no gout.
You're an ornery old cuss, Franklin. I believe you just might. Still, we already got to Hull Arch. He seems gravely injured. Miss Red, Miss Method, did you examine your man's wound?
We attempted to. There were a great many, though, and still, we stanched the bleeding and bound them suitably. Didn't we, Arch? Arch?
Did you see the wounds, though? How was he wounded? How? Well, it was bad. I mean, you see him?
No, how was he bitten?
Archie? Hey! Archie!
Some bruises, a couple of bites.
A couple?
Aye, forearms. Must have got ugly.
Red, dear, I fear we may have lost.
Miss Method, drop him and get away!
Here he is. My word, Archibald, for a moment there, I feared we'd...
Archie, get the hell off now! What's wrong with you? Let me kill you, son! Get out!
Watch his teeth, girl! Don't let him bite!
The head, Red! Strike the head! You do it if it's so easy! No, Red! Not the window! God damn it, Arch. What the hell got into you? Poor son of a... Hey! Get your hands off me, girl! Did he bite you? Red, did he bite you?
I can look for myself, thank you.
And you, Method?
Hands off, Pratt. I'm fine. Leather sleeves.
What is this fixation on biting, girl?
Isn't it obvious? It spreads via bite. Isn't that so, Miss Pratt?
Yes.
And it stands to reason that this... You called it a blight, yes? This blight progresses depending on the location and severity of the bite. Now, Method, you said your man Archibald was burning up. The other runaway, the big buck, Samson, he was feverish when you three brought him back, wasn't he? So then, the blight causes the madness and the biting. The bites spread the blight and bring the fever, and the rest should be plain without me explaining further, no?
An impressive chain of deductions, Madam Kane.
You sound incredulous, Franklin.
Oh, quite the opposite, madam. Rather, I'm humbled by your logic.
Praise from Caesar. I was further wondering, if one could remove their teeth, thus keeping them from biting, could one then utilize them in order to...
And now I think we're all horrified. Utilize them? Mr. Jefferson, some help, please?
Window ruin. His neck bent wrong. Yet he persists.
Fiona, what's going on over there?
Red and Method are mourning their friends, sir. Mr. Jefferson seems caught in a fugue, and Carmella...
Fascinating.
Carmella is Carmella, sir.
Well, given that those maniacs can climb, could everyone mourn and fugue in Carmella somewhere other than the brightly lit and easily accessible window?
I'm working on it, sir. Mr. Jefferson, please, I need to know.
Chaise lounge all blooded. Plus Junebug. Now a window. But what's money matter faced with walking death?
We need to get out of here.
Alas, we're trapped. Fox is in a trap, set to be torn up. Oh!
Thomas Jefferson! Benjamin sang your praises for the last 6 hours of our journey here. And when he stopped, you were there to pick up the tune. Am I now to understand this man of purportedly unparalleled brilliance meekly melts at the first challenge to his orthodoxy?
Ow!
And challenged by what? A mere mob of walking dead men? For shame, sir! Gather your wits and tell me how to get us out of here!
I suppose it's a dumb waiter, but it may...
The dumb waiter! Brilliant!
My sincerest apologies, but I need to interject here.
I'm sorry. What?
I said I'd be remiss, and Carmella Kane and Kane Capital would be ill-served if I didn't interject here. Now, I'm not trying to tell you two how to do your jobs, and I don't want to be an asshole here.
Yet somehow you're about to manage both.
But I've had a few qualms regarding Carmella. Again, she was a product of her time. Yes, she owned slaves, but... And I hate to put it so bluntly, but nobody really knew better back then.
Really? Nobody. Not even the slaves thought anything was wrong?
Okay, yes, of course slave perspectives are essential to understand. That is, Kane Capital respects all historically marginal... What I'm trying to say is that I have reservations.
Oh, you have reservations.
With Carmella's portrayal, particularly with the specious notion that she capitalized on something as horrific as the blight. For years, Kane Capital has been fighting that kind of specious and sensational insinuation.
Were we insinuating that? I thought we were outright stating it.
Oh, Layla.
Professor Freeman, I was under the impression that this would be an amicable environment, but if she's going to...
It is, Veronica. It is, I promise. Layla is passionate regarding certain matters, but I promise Kane will get a fair shake.
I would hope so. How can you expect continued sponsorship broadcasting this sort of treatment?
Carmella looms large in this next chapter, so why don't you share Kane Capital's narrative perspective with our listeners, huh?
Okay, so where were we?
Monticello's grand dining hall. The window was broken, the blighted mob was closing in, and Jefferson had just revealed to Fiona that they could escape via dumbwaiter.
Yes, of course. And therein lies one of the numerous qualms I have with your narrative so far. According to Carmella's account, Fiona and Jefferson quibbled over the best means of escape, and it was Kane herself who seized on the dumbwaiter. Everyone else was losing their heads.
Everyone, listen. We need to keep our heads about us. We've only a short span before those fiends scale the wall and come through the window. But this dumbwaiter...
Ever level-headed, Carmela saw that the dumbwaiter could only fit one person at a time.
Can fit two at a time if we squeeze.
Realizing that they were lost without her strategic acumen, everyone else insisted that Fiona be the first person to ride down.
Now, it's plain we should send the less capable down first. That means Benjamin and Mr. Jefferson, who's virtually useless until he regains his senses.
Thinking nothing of herself, Carmela protested.
Then, I suppose, Method and... Carmela can ride down.
The others insisted, though, and so Carmela gave in, bravely riding the dumbwaiter down into the dark unknown.
And then Red and I can... Carmela, wait your turn!
Your attempt at asserting authority is amusing, but it's every woman for herself. Now, if you don't mind... Kane, what are you...
Carmela, don't you dare!
Best to leave the dumbwaiter open should I need to make a quick escape. Ye gods. But it is dark down here. Is someone there? I say, if you're one of Jefferson's people, present yourself. Your master is yet absent, but you should heed me as his equal. If you persist in this, I swear I shall purchase you off Jefferson and have you whipped as an example. Come forth! I hear you out there! Now, cease pounding on that door! I'm afraid for everyone I put down, the musket report draws two more.
Then we'd best be somewhere else. Pratt, what's the problem here?
The dumbwaiter won't move if the other panel is open!
Carmela, you coward!
Dear God... I hate that woman.
The rope. I believe. The rope?
What's he on about?
They're scrambling up. One over the other, like ants. I can't hold them for long.
The rope? Of course. Are you saying the dumbwaiter cable could support us?
Yes, it should. Going one at a time and cautiously. It's not but a 20-25 foot drop. The pulley is strong enough.
Sir, get over here.
I'm coming. I doubt I've the vigor left for any speedy spelunking.
It'll be an eternity before Methuselah here reaches the bottom. Why are we sending him first?
Because you two are best suited to cover our rear flank. Once he's down, we'll send Jefferson.
Oh, thank you.
Then, we three can descend, closing the hatch after.
Gertrude, dearest, they're ascending faster than I can reload on my own.
I'm coming! Fine, Pratt. Just make sure they get down as quick as...
Fiona! I fear I may be stuck, my dear girl.
Just let go of the bloody rope, man!
But it's such a drop. If perhaps if I... Ah, no!
I hear you out there. Now cease pounding on that door. I've got a hefty wine bottle here. Don't make me brain you.
Jupiter!
I cannot if you're one of Jefferson's favorites. You've no one to blame for this but yourself, boy. Just imagine, if you can, my position. I might well have been the last unblighted soul on the whole plantation, and then some soaked and bedraggled negro barges through the door, a cane in one hand and an axe in the other. If that bottle hadn't broken over your head, I'd have gotten a dozen licks in, and not a soul would think me unjustified.
Madam Kane, I'm not blaming you for anything. I only asked your help in barring this door.
Well, you seem to have a passable job of doing it on your own.
Madam, these fiends are drawn to noises. I believe I eluded the mob pursuing me outside, but they might still discover us if we are too loud. Let alone if there are any in here with us. At the very least, could you lower your tone?
Lower my tone? You forget yourself, boy. Now, lest I procure another bottle and have at you, make yourself useful and provide us with some light. No?
Indeed. There should be a lamp and flint just near the door. There. Now we have some light. Now let's... Is it just you down here, madam? What of the others?
I took it upon myself to descend via dumbwaiter and scout ahead. I signaled it was clear, so I've no idea what delays them. Well, that must be them now. Come now, back to the dumbwaiter so we might regroup.
Madam, wait! That sounded like...
Come, boy! We'll need that light. Unless you'd rather I inform your master of your insubordination. Once this mess has blown over, I'm sure we'll... Why, that's odd. No one's here.
Kane, look out! Their heads. You've got to go for their heads. Are you home, madam?
Oh, would that I never left Boston. My word, Jupiter! Is that you, lad?
Master Franklin, are you well, sir? Is anything broken?
Benjamin? Benjamin, answer me!
I'm here, girl. Just a few bruises. Come down quickly. I've found Jupiter. They're both here, Jupiter and Madam. And, pardon me, Madam Kane, but why do you hold your hand so?
It's nothing. I swear. Little more than a nick. Just a small bite.
I've got to say, Veronica, your depiction of Carmela's story was certainly something.
Do you really think so?
Oh, absolutely. I was skeptical at first, but...
Oh, thank you! I can't take all the credit, of course. The Kane Capital Communications team really...
Oh, no, girl. Don't be shy. That was an absolutely hagiographic narrative, and you deserve everything that's coming to you.
I am so glad to hear you say so!
And we're so glad to have you, and for Kane Capital's generous sponsorship.
Fantastic! This was so fun, you two! I'll see you next week!
Join us next episode for our season finale, The Fall of Monticello.
Until then, we're grateful as always that you're here with us for Pale Columbia.
Gathers near, regardless of place, a tempest is tossed in each brother's face. The birth of the land is the birth of the storm. The weather is cold and the war is too warm. Derry down, down, hey, derry down. The front marches forth in both weather and war. Each battle is fought, though there isn't a score. But more than their lives are lost in the fight. For after the war, they must battle the blight. Derry down, down, hey, derry down. The skells overtake each village they cross. All shells of themselves, their souls are now lost. They spread across the land like the armies up north, devouring hope as their blight goeth forth. Derry down, down, hey, derry down. But other things spread through the body and mind. Diseases and greed will both vanquish in kind. A fight for the wealthy is fought by the poor. And no soul is healthy when saddled with war. Derry down, down, hey, derry down. Home is the reason all battles are fought. The horrors they wrought are not soon forgot, but a home built on bondage will never stand tall, and the land lost to blight is certain to fall. Derry down, down, hey, Derry down. But a home built on bondage will never stand tall, and the land lost to blight is certain to fall. Derry down, down, hey, Derry down. Derry down, down, hey, Derry down.
In Pale Columbia, Chapter 4, We Tumbled Dice Many a Time. Eric Austin played Aloysius Freeman and Jupiter Nameless. Kate Piotti played Alayla Marks Parks, Fiona Pratt, and Gertrude Red. Hannah Schooner played Lillian Method, Carmela Kane, and Veronica Delmonico. And Ryan Knowles played Thomas Jefferson and Benjamin Franklin. Other roles were played by the cast. Pale Columbia features music and original arrangements by Jackie Presti, with lyrics and lead vocals by Ryan Knowles. Mandolin and guitar by Bob Rose. Audio production and sound design by Alex Sterling at Precision Sound Studios, New York. Assistant audio engineer, Colin Bryson. Executive producer, Nadine Welch. Pale Columbia was written and created by Kevin Likely, and produced and directed by Justin Heyman.